We thank God for how he has been helping us right from the beginning of this meeting. The Lord has come to us in various dimensions through each of the ministrations, the devotional charges, the main message, the prayer opera, the songs, and all the other aspects, the Bible study, the seminars. We have been thoroughly blessed. And I pray that even as we conclude tonight, the Lord will still come to us and he will perfect his word in our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we give you thanks for your help that we have experienced in this meeting. Father, we give you praise that you have been ever present. We have experienced you in various dimensions. You have instructed us. You have impacted our lives. You have done what no man can do. We give you worship. We are so grateful that you did not leave us alone. We thank you that you have come to us, showing us the way to possess the gates, especially as young people in our time. Father, we worship you. Receive our thanks, O Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Even tonight, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us. We pray that your word will come to us with grace and with power. Let it accomplish your purpose in our lives. Let it move us forward on our path unto possessing the gates in the name of Jesus Christ. We are expecting of you, O God. It's from you that we are expecting. Please speak to us and cause us to hear you and to understand you. Thank you, Father, for hearing us, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This evening, we are going to be considering the battle strategies for possessing the gates. As shortly as the Lord will enable us, we are trusting him to speak to us and give us wisdom on what are the strategies to employ, at least some of these strategies, in possessing the gates in our generation. We have seen God speaking to us that we must march on to possess the gates with the life of Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. We have seen that there is no other life that can possess the gates. The gates will not open to just any kind of life. It will only open to the King of glory, Christ, and him crucified. And it is anyone who carries that life that will possess the gates, that the gates will be open to. The gates will lift up their heads so that the King of glory shall come in. And we also saw the Lord instructing us that obedience is the key unto possessing the gates. We must be trained in the life of obedience. It was disobedience that drove us out from that position of authority. It is by obedience that we will enter in to possess the gates. Now, looking at the battle strategies as much as we can go this night, I discover that the battle for possessing the gates has been from the beginning of creation. It's been from the genesis of everything, the book of Genesis. You will discover that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, we are told how the Lord created the heavens and the earth. And darkness covers the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. That was a battle. That was a battle for the earth, for the control of the earth. Who will be in charge? That was the battle. Even right there at the beginning, the devil came to contend for the gates at the creation of the earth. But God just needed to speak. He just spoke his word, let there be light, and darkness disappeared. And now, by Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, when the Lord God handed over the creation to mankind, and he said, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Ah, that was another problem for the devil. He came again to contend for the control of the earth. By chapter 3, he came again. Excuse me. I have my warm water there. I'm sorry. Just a moment. The AC is drying my throat. So we saw that the devil came again in chapter 3 of Genesis to contend for the control of the earth in that terrible temptation that he brought to the man and his wife, and they fell. It was so unfortunate. By their disobedience, they handed over the control of the earth, which God has committed to their hands. They handed it over to the devil. They handed it over. And in Luke chapter 4 in the New Testament, the devil confirmed it when he came to Jesus, the second Adam. He said, all the world, all the kingdoms, they have been handed over to me. And you will wonder, who handed it over? It was the first Adam. They handed it over because of their disobedience to the word of God, to the command of God. But thank God that Jesus conquered the devil. He came as a capital seed, and he bruised the head of the serpent, and he gave us the victory by his own obedience. Through his own obedience, we now have a thorough way for us to possess the gates, for us to gain control over the earth and what is going on earth. That's the beginning of our victory. We now have the victory. Thank God for what Jesus did. And so, to him and to everyone in whom he, Christ Jesus, lives, the gate will be opened. We had that in the morning. Now, looking at the battle strategies that the Lord gave us in the scriptures, first I would like to again refer to what we had last night, the message last night, where the Lord was telling us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that 5 verse 4 first, who is it that overcomes the world? You see, he said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And then chapter 4, verse 4, he said, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Again, that is the first principle of victory in looking at the strategy for overcoming at the gates. We have already overcome before the battle begins. The Lord has shown us the end result before we even start, you know, contending for the gates. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you already have the victory. You have overcome them. And who is it that overcomes the world? It is those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we already have the victory. Let nobody's heart shake because of the battle at the gates. Let nobody be afraid of what will happen, because victory has already been given unto us. Now, reading 2 Corinthians, we are going to base our study on 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. Concerning this battle at the gates, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Again, you will note here, maybe I should also read Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 12, so that I will not need to read that again, for us to take note of this battle and the strategies we must employ. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, the first thing we need to note there is that the battle for the gates is a spiritual battle. It's not physical. Even though we are living in the physical realm, we are not warring after the physical things. We are not, our battle is not physical. They are not physical. They are spiritual. That's why that Ephesians chapter 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. When we talk about possessing the gates, someone may think that we just go there, we just work hard, and then we catch the gate. No, it's not like that. We will do it physically, but it must start in the spiritual, because the gates are actually spiritual. The gates that we're contending over, the battle is spiritual before it manifests in the physical. Things that are temporary, things that are physical they emanate from things that are spiritual. So the gates, even though they manifest in the spiritual, the physical, they are first of all spiritual. And the Bible says our warfare is not carnal. We don't wrestle against physical beings, but against principalities and powers, wicked spirits. You will remember in Ezekiel chapter 28, where the Bible talks about the king of Tyre. And when you read down, you will see the Lord addressing Lucifer. We see the king of Tyre as the physical king, but there is a prince of darkness, a principality that put him in power. So even when the Lord was addressing the king of Tyre, it is the principalities, the spiritual wickedness that rule over Tyre, that God was addressing, Satan, the Lucifer himself. So our battle for the gates is first of all spiritual. It is not physical. And also our weapons are spiritual. You don't use physical weapons to fight spiritual battle. We have learned from the beginning of this meeting that you don't depend on your intelligence or your physical strength to conquer the gates. You will fall flat. Our battle is spiritual, and the weapons are also spiritual. Of course, the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it said, "Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord." So Just take note of that fact that our battle is spiritual, it is not physical. And our weapons are also spiritual. Our weapons are also spiritual. Secondly, I also want us to note that this battle is not first of all a personal battle. It is kingdom versus kingdom. It is a kingdom battle. So if you are fighting for yourself, you have not yet entered into the battle for the gates. It is a kingdom battle. Even right from the beginning of our being born again, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, it said, Christ has delivered us. He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. So it's kingdom versus kingdom. There is the kingdom of darkness ruled by Satan, and there is the kingdom of God under the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ. The battle for the gates is a kingdom battle. And for us to be able to conquer at the gates, we must follow kingdom principles. We must be kingdom minded. You are fighting behind your Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the one who controls our host. This must be very, we must understand this very clearly, even as young people, so that you will know what you are going into. You are going into the battles of the Lord, the battles for possession, the battle for the gates. So, looking at 2 Corinthians that we read, you will discover certain strategies that were outlined there. I don't think I will go beyond that tonight, but we will look at it practically to see how will God want us to approach this battle for the gates. We have said it's a battle, and it started from the beginning of creation. And we must win the battle in our own generation in the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 that we started reading says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. That's the first thing we should note. Our weapons are not carnal. They are not natural. I think it is the NIV. NIV helps us to put it in a simpler way. NIV. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. So, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They are mighty. I want us to take note of that. They are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. It is first of all in God that we can win this battle. Anybody who has stepped outside him cannot hope to win the battle at the gates. It's a fierce battle. But standing in God, the weapon you are using will be mighty. It may look simple. It may look foolish to the world. But they are going to be mighty because the mighty God is the driving force. You can imagine what happened to David with his smooth stones. I was even thinking, if somebody will use stones to throw at somebody, you should use stones that are rugged a bit so that it will tear the flesh and tear the bones. But look, smooth stones that sometimes cannot even kill a bird. Look at that young man. Once he said, you come to me with sword and shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He was wielding his own weapons in God. And that was the driving force behind that spoon stone that killed Goliath. You must remember, you must recognize that the weapons we will use to win in this battle, they are not carnal. Don't depend on your strength, on your eloquence, on your human intelligence. No. It is not a carnal weapon that will win the battle. They are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. I was talking about the fact that you must remain in God when fighting for the gates. Don't stay one leg in, one leg outside. They will capture you. Our weapon is mighty only as long as we remain in God. And they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Again, look at that strategy. Because God knows that the devil uses strongholds to rule on the earth, to man the gates. There are strongholds. Strongholds in the lives of even the people that he owns. Strongholds of sin in their lives. You will imagine, you know, even when you were in the world, when we were in the world, there are certain sins that are strongholds. They have a strong hold on our lives. Those are strongholds of the devil to make sure his prisoners don't go free. Strongholds. Strongholds of sin, addiction, strongholds of sexual immorality in different forms, especially nowadays in this generation that we are in. Strongholds that the devil uses, strongholds of sin to keep his prisoners perpetually under bondage. Strongholds of Satan himself, demonic powers that he posts in the lives of people so that they will not go free. Strongholds of demonic powers that he puts over cities and nations, as it happened to Tyre in Ezekiel 28. Strongholds, such strongholds, the Bible says, we demolish strongholds. That's the strategy. We demolish strongholds by the equipment that God gives us. And you see, you know, I thank God for all the testimonies from the pace setters, from discipleship, even from the marriage seminar that we had. You will discover these strongholds at work at different levels. Strongholds that the devil uses to man the gates so that nobody can penetrate. But with our weapons, we demolish strongholds. We demolish, we pull down strongholds, both in prayers and even in the physical. When you stay in God and he gives you, you know, strategies, wisdom to know what to do, you cannot imagine how greatly that weapon will work to demolish strongholds. You remember in Mark chapter 3, verse 24. The Bible says, when a strong man keeps his goods are secure. But when a stronger than he shall come, he will bind him and he will loot his goods. That's what the devil does. He keeps his goods secure. And these goods include human beings. It includes people and places, nations, professions, strongholds. Strongholds. But when we bind that strong man, we can now, you know, set his captives free. We can loot his goods. We can set people free by the grace of God. Strongholds. Look at, I would like us to read one example in, Acts chapter 13. When Paul was going to preach. Together with Barnabas. Acts chapter 13, verses 6 to 12, it says, Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, so his name is called, is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the truth. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O fool of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went round seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Pulling down strongholds. Look at this Elymas the sorcerer. He was posted to that palace to have a stronghold on the proconsul. You will wonder, you are preaching to somebody and there is no response. There may be a stronghold standing by him, a demon posted to make sure he doesn't hear you and he doesn't understand. But once Paul saw that, he dealt with the issue and pulled down that stronghold. And the man was free now to hear the gospel and to believe. Going to the gates, there are strongholds that we will confront. Let me tell you, gates are not vacant. Those gates are not vacant. There is no gate that is vacant. It is manned by an agent of the devil. And we are to go and collect it back, because the earth and all that therein is that God created was created for man to take charge of it before. We lost it, but we regained it in Christ. We should go and possess our possession now. That gate is not meant for the devil. It's not meant for the devil. I remember a time when someone who was really occultic was manning the gate of the health sector in Nigeria. Oh, that man did havoc. He changed many things that has wrecked our health sector now. And, you know, up till now, we are still struggling. So there are such gates. They are not empty. They are not vacant. And to confront them, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, as we have been hearing. We need God. We need to stand in God to pull down those strongholds. Again, we are reading 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We demolish arguments. Wow. King James says we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We cast down arguments. How do we do that? It is not just by empty arguments. Do you know that it takes a higher argument to cast down another argument? It's not just by praying. We pray like our brother, Prophet Charles Aka, was saying. When that evil policy was being made, he had to pray, but not only pray, he wrote his own and see what God did. How he mightily worked to make sure that his argument conquered the arguments of the wicked people. When he says we demolish arguments, stand in God, go to him in prayers, intercede over the matter and receive wisdom from God, and you will be able to write your own. You'll be able to do what would demolish those arguments. It is not just by prayer, we will pray. That is primary. Actually, each of these strategies work in the atmosphere of prayer. If you don't pray, nothing will happen. You can use your intelligence to write. It will not win any battle. But as we pray, we must also act. We cast down arguments. There are arguments that people have proposed in different gates that makes them to keep standing at that gate doing evil. Why can't we look at that and go to God and say, Lord, what do we do to conquer and cast down this argument? There are certain arguments that even make some evil religions, false doctrines, to keep standing. Why can't we go to God and receive wisdom to cast down that argument? That takes place a lot, especially in Christendom today. False doctrine of all kinds. You will see, you know, this doctrine of what do they call it now? They carry sand and deliver the land. Land deliverance. And they don't ever consider that Christ has died for us. The cross meant nothing to them. And they kept perpetrating this thing, and we are entering into more and more trouble. Sometimes, apart from praying, you need to stand up to it and say, please, stop deceiving people. Christ died on the cross. The Bible says he disarmed principalities and powers on our behalf. He says all the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Those people, they render the cross of Christ of none effect, but it will take a higher argument to knock off that kind of argument that has put many people in bondage. The brother from Malawi, who was testifying of his discipleship experience, was talking about being taught demonology. So himself almost became a demon. He was seeing demons in everything, and fear was gripping him until the Lord delivered him by his word, by the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary. So such things that are imaginations of people, we can demolish, we can cast it down, casting down arguments with a higher argument. And I tell you, the word of God is a higher argument. It's a higher principle that will knock off every false doctrine, every wrong argument. Remember Hushai. Hushai in 2 Samuel chapter 15, chapter 16. First, when Absalom was driving away his father from Jerusalem, from the throne, we were told that certain people in David's cabinet defected to Absalom. People like Ahithophel. And in chapter 15 of 2 Samuel, the Bible says in verse 31 that someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, oh Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. He prayed, but prayer alone will not do the work. Until Hushai came on the scene. And in chapter 16, when Hushai came, David said, you will do me more harm than good if you follow me. Go and join the cabinet of Absalom and help me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So chapter 17 came on the scene because Absalom, you know, Ahithophel counseled Absalom to kill David, to, you know, allow him to kill David. He will get some thousands of soldiers from Israel, and they will follow Ahithophel. They will go and hunt for David and kill him. Hushai came on the scene. Even though Ahithophel's counsel was like an oracle of God, he had to defeat that argument. And the wisdom he brought forth was serious. Whereas Ahithophel said, let me choose 12,000 men, chapter 17, verse 1, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. And then all that he said he would do. Ahithophel said he should not do that. That counsel this time is not correct. He said, in verse 11. Therefore, I advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you. He was talking to Absalom. From Dan to Beersheba, like the sand that is by the seashore for multitude. And that you go to battle in person. So we will come upon him, David, in some place where he may be found. And we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground. And of him and all the men who are with him, there shall not be left so much as one man. Moreover, if he has withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we will pull it into the river, until there is not one man, one small stone found there. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord has purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. So you can see. And then Hushai quickly sent to David. He said, now therefore, thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel. And thus and so I have advised. Now therefore, send quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend the night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up. You see, God is good. He knows how to protect his people. He protected David because Hushai went to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. There are arguments that God can give you to defeat devilish arguments. And you will be able to man that gate. And there is nothing the devil can contend. When Ahithophel noticed that his counsel was not taken, he went and committed suicide. The devil committed suicide. The devil went and committed suicide. So there was no way again for him to man that gate. And God did what he wanted to do to Absalom. We can demolish arguments. We can cast down imaginations. There are many things that people imagine, and they are evil in our society, in our nations. If you have the position to reach the president of your country, as it happened to our brother Charles, you can go to God, receive wisdom, receive counsel, receive a higher argument that will counter that. In schools, people make terrible devilish proposals. You can go to God and man that gate, and God will give you wisdom. He will give you wisdom to counteract and cast down that their argument. And then there will be liberty. Our sister, the doctor from South Africa, we saw how she stood. I pray that every young person, you will not look down on your youth. You can move mountains. You with God and him giving you wisdom and counsel, you will bring forth a higher argument. Look at Esther. Look at the proposal of Haman in the kingdom of Ahasuerus in Babylon to kill all Jews just because one Jew offended him. What a wicked man. He said, if I kill only Mordecai, he's too small to punish. I must kill all his people. And look at the argument he put forth. I want you to take note of this. Esther chapter 3. Esther 3, verses 8 to 11. Esther 3. And the king, verse 8 to 11. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 1,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasury. So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedata, an Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you. You see, kings are just figureheads. There are principalities manning that gate. Haman was one of such. And whatever he said to the king agreed. He brought forth an argument, which was unfounded, that the Jews don't obey the law. And so all of them should be killed just because one man offended him. But now, when God helped Esther to agree to go to that gate to possess it, she was just a queen. She was not in the position of Haman. But God gave her that wisdom. She prayed. She fasted together with her maidens. And she started to walk. It took her many stages of action, but she conquered at the end. She took up that challenge in chapter 7. After she had fasted and prayed, and God gave her a higher argument, wisdom, with which to conquer that argument of Haman. She first went God's way by making a feast of wine. That was wisdom by excellence. They know that Ahasuerus loved wine very much. So, she did that. And then, in chapter 7, after 2 banquets of wine, she started speaking. Look at her argument. In let me quickly read from verses 1 to 7. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, what is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom, it shall be done. Then Queen Esther answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss. So King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, who is he? And where is he who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. So Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. Look at that. Whereas Haman said, these people don't obey the law. Esther did not stand up to say, it's a lie. We obey the law. Am I not your wife? Am I not your queen? Don't I obey? If she had gone that way, she would have been using natural intelligence and it will fail her. But she went to God to receive a super and superior argument. She appealed to the king's passion and affection. She appealed to the king, said, we have been sold. He said, if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition. Your life? Who wants to take your life? Okay. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed. Look at how Queen Esther approached it. That's wisdom per excellence. It's only a woman with an excellent spirit, with the spirit of God, the spirit of wisdom, that can bring forth such a super wisdom. She appealed to the affection of the king. We have been sold. She didn't say the Jews have been sold. Look at wisdom. We have been sold. She said, okay, even if we were sold to be killed, even if we were sold to be male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue. After all, I would just become a slave that I was before. But who will compensate for the king's loss? Hey! That's to say, if we are sold, the Jews are sold, even me, I will be part of it. And who will compensate for your loss, O king?
Look at that wisdom. A higher argument. The king grows up in fury. And he said, who is he? And where is he? Who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing? And then Esther hit the nail on the head. Of course, Haman had no appeal. He was not given space to even appeal. Right from there, even when he now fell at the couch of Queen Esther to beg for his life, and the king went to the garden furiously to think. And he came back and he saw Haman kneeling down by the couch of Esther. He said, he even wants to rate my queen in my presence. You see? You see how the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. God will make the enemy to keep making mistakes so that we can possess the gate. So that we can, push him out of the way by the wisdom of God. And that was how Haman was hung. Haman finished, but Esther knew that the writing of Haman had not finished. She continued to press on from stage to stage. In chapter 8, she went again to the king and pleaded that the writing of Haman be, changed. And the king said, that's a difficult thing. We cannot change anything that the king has signed. It is a law. So what will you do? Go and write your own. Look at wisdom begetting wisdom. And that's how God helped them. They overcame Haman. All his children were hung. The writing, the argument of Haman was destroyed. And the Lord gave victory to the Jews. And finally, to cap it all, the Bible says in chapter 10 that King Ahasuerus promoted Mordecai. He said, for Mordecai, verse 3, for Mordecai the Jew was second to King Ahasuerus and was great among the Jews and was received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. So there is a wisdom that I'm praying God will begin to give us, the youth of today, to counteract the argument of the wicked one that has kept him at the gates. Can we take each of these gates one by one? You see, there are arguments that brought forth Darwin's theory, for example. And God has been waiting, looking for someone who will do authentic researches that will completely finish that theory in the nations. Can we find higher researches that will counteract and destroy that Darwin's theory? God is looking for people to man the scientific gates that has thrown our world into pandemonium, that has made people godless in our time. God is waiting for those who will cast down that imagination by higher imaginations. May the Lord make you one in the name of Jesus Christ. That 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We demolish every pretense. New King James Version calls that we demolish every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we demolish it. Anything contrary to God and to the knowledge of God, we demolish it, whether in the church or outside. Anything, any law, any policy, anything at all, wherever you are, even in the traditional setting, anything that is contrary to God, we can demolish it by the weapons of our warfare. We demolish everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
We bring every thought into captivity. You know that all the evils that people do, it starts from their thoughts. If at that point, as it is coming without yet being established, coming from the thought, we can take it captive. We can capture that thought and bring it into the obedience of Christ, both by prayer and in action. We can frustrate that effort. God is on our side. You remember the thought, even in Acts chapter 8, the thought in, there is this man that was converted under Philip in Samaria. The Simon the sorcerer, who wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit with money. And Peter confronted him because he knew what he was gunning for. And he said, your money perish with you. You thought to buy the gift of God. You thought to buy the gift of God with money. You want to bring contamination now to the work of God. If you don't pray and repent now of the thoughts of your heart to be forgiven you, you will perish. So we can capture thoughts. And people express their thoughts. It just comes out. They don't know how it will come out. And once you know it's contrary to God and his knowledge, you can take it captive. So that it doesn't land. It doesn't amount to anything. We must be sensitive in the spirit. And we ourselves must be well grounded in the word of God. As young people, don't joke with your knowledge of the word of God. You don't joke with it. Otherwise, things will be happening around you that will take you yourself captive. Gates are meant to be manned by God's people. But presently, they are manned by the wicked one. God will be leading us into situations and circumstances that will give us opportunity to push away the demons that are manning that gate so that we can man it for the kingdom of God. We bring every thought into captivity. You can exercise your authority. You can bring those thoughts to captivity. Somebody is making an evil suggestion in the school where you are teaching. You can bring that thought to captivity. It will not amount to anything. And then you establish God's own principles. We must not say, there is nothing I can do. In these days when God is saying, we should go and possess the gates. God himself has gone ahead of us. And lastly, he said, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So, with our weapon, we punish every disobedience. We punish disobedience. As it happened in that Elimas, the sorcerer's case. He was punished. He was punished for walking contrary to God. He became blind. But that will be when our obedience is complete. So, just in a nutshell, our strategies and weapons are mighty in God and they operate in the environment of prayer. And as we walk with God, Christ in you in Christ, don't walk away from God and from his word. You are walking away from your victory. Walk, abide in him. Stay in his presence. The weapons of our warfare only work mightily as long as we remain in God. In Romans 13, we are told, he said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will not fulfill, let me read it very well. Romans 13 verse 14, he said, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You remain in God and put on Jesus. Let it be Christ that will be seen in you. Let it be his character, his life, Christ's life that will be manifesting outwardly. Then you will see that the gates will be opened unto you. So stay in Christ and put on Christ. Be kingdom minded. The Bible says in Colossians 3, it says, since you have died with Christ, it says, seek the things that are above, not things that are below. Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. The one that will go and possess the gate and man the gate is someone who is kingdom minded. The Lord, may the Lord help each one of us that as we go from here, self is completely finished. It is only Christ that is living now in you. And it is the kingdom of God that is your pursuit. The interest of the kingdom must be our pursuit as we continue and as we go from here in the name of Jesus Christ. Prayer is crucial. We must pray. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying with all prayer and supplication for all the saints. After he has told us the weapon of truth, of a breastplate of righteousness, of a sword of the spirit and all the weapons, they all operate in prayers. So each one of us that want to possess the gates must be people of prayer. Esther conquered by prayer. God helped her and gave her wisdom as she saw the face of God over the issue. Prayer is very crucial in possessing the gates. And then God will give us wisdom. He will give us strategy. There is a strategy to conquer each gate. And there is a strategy for every situation. Don't imagine that the strategy of yesterday will help you today. Pray again and again and again. You will see the Lord giving you wisdom for every battle for the gates. So we're going to be praying. We're going to be calling on the Lord this evening that the Lord himself will come and equip us. Let him come and fill us with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of God that will enable us to go to the gates and the gates will be opened unto us. The spirit of God that will counsel us with the correct strategy to employ. Christ himself living in us, to walk in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We're going to be pleading with God to man every gate in all the songs they have told us, even the gates. To man whatever gate is in your situation or in your place of work, in your community, wherever you are. There are gates there that must be manned. We are going to be praying, Lord, equip me for this task. Equip me. Fill me with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of power and of might. Equip me. David said, Lord, you train my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You are going to pray for that. Please, Lord, train me for this. We have talked about discipleship. There is a training that we need for this kind of assignment on the face of the earth. God will provide it even through discipleship. You are going to pray that you will take your discipleship very seriously. That God will be able to use you not only to conquer the gates and leave it empty. You will man that gate. The gates of students' unionism on campuses. The gates of trade union. It is manned by unbelievers now. We have heard about the gate of fashion. Unbelievers have occupied the gate of fashion. Where are the Christians? Where are those who make clothes that can make Christian clothes, Christian fashion, evolve it? Where do we leave that gate for the enemy to possess? You will pray for wisdom. You will pray for the correct strategy. That in a short time to come, we will possess that gate for Jesus. So we're going to be praying this night. You're going to be calling on God. The first thing is that you must be in God. The weapons are mighty only in God. You're going to plead with God. If tonight you know that you cannot really say you are in Christ. You cannot say you are in Christ. Or Christ is in you. You will beg God tonight. Please deliver me from this other kingdom. Translate me into your own kingdom. Shall we pray together? wherever you are. I would like you to please stand on your feet and call on God. The battle is waiting for us. As we go away from here, we are going into it. And God will expose us to various opportunities to man the gate, to win the battles at the gate, and to man the gates. Will you pray, Lord, deliver me, uproot me from the kingdom of darkness. You cannot remain in the kingdom of darkness where sin reigns and think you can man the gate for Jesus. No, it's not possible. You must be delivered. And if tonight you are yet to be delivered, you are yet to be saved, you are yet to be removed, actually uprooted, not just to be forgiven, uprooted from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God, you have an opportunity tonight. You are going to plead with God and cry to heaven with your own voice from your own heart and say, Lord, don't leave me here. I'm still living in sin. Darkness still surrounds me. Demons press me in the night. Lord, please help me. I keep falling and rising. Tomorrow I'm hot. Today I am cold. Lord, deliver me and translate me into your kingdom. You are going to pray that prayer. And while we are praying, if you know that, oh, God has given you several opportunities that you have missed, will you plead with God tonight that you will not waste such opportunities again? We have heard from the pathfinders. Ha! Even the young doctor, see what God did through her life. Why are you there and you are afraid? Why are you there? You can't stand for Christ. You will pray to God tonight. Lord, please restore me. Restore me to yourself. Help me to represent you properly at the gates. When you give me opportunities, don't allow me to waste it. Help me. Please pray. Pray for your life. Plead with God to train your hands to war and your fingers to fight. See how Queen Esther fought that battle, both on their knees and in action. See how Hushai fought that battle. See how Paul fought the battle. The people of old, they fought and won at the gates. Will you please pray that God will make you such a person that God can depend upon? Oh Lord, please. We are the young in our generation. We are your foot soldiers. Help us. Don't allow any life go from here just as he came. Do something. Turn us to another man. Change our story. Change our hearts. Lord, help us that we'll be soldiers of Christ. We will no longer meddle with things that are not important. Civilian affairs that are not important for the kingdom. But Lord, you will help us that as good soldiers of Christ, we will endure hardship. We will fight according to the rules and strategies that you give us. Oh, please pray, my brothers and sisters. Pray, plead with God. God can use you no matter how small you think you are. You are actually the one that God is looking for. For out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he has ordained strength. Please pray. And if you are there tonight, you are saying, Lord, make me one of your soldiers. Make me one of those through whom you will demonstrate your wisdom and strategy to discomfit the enemies at the gate. Tonight is your night. Ask the Lord to first deliver you from that kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and to plant you in his own kingdom. And if you are saying that to God tonight, I would like you to lift up your hands in surrender to God and say, me also, Lord, don't leave me. I'm on the Lord's side. I don't want to be on the side of the devil. Lord, take me to yourself and equip me for the battle. Take me into your kingdom. If you are there in whichever center, would you like to come out to the altar as you are lifting up your hands. We have no time tonight again. You will plead with God and say, Lord, just as I am, without one plea. Or maybe you have been in Christ before, but now you have come out. Will you pray, Lord, take me back? As a prodigal son, as he was taken back and received with joy by his father, have been prodigal. Lord, take me back. Are you there? Please walk out to the pulpit. Walk out to the altar. The Lord has need of you. The Lord wants to make you a man of his power at the gates. You will be remembered for this great thing that he will use you for in your generation. Please come out. Yes. The Lord bless you as you come out and ask the Lord tonight and say, please count me among your army. Count me among them. You use Esther. She was a woman. You use even Jael. Hey, Jael, a woman at the tent. She only used food and she conquered the giant at the gate. Lord, you use Deborah. Why not me? Lord, you use Samson. You use David. We have seen Hushai just by being in the parliament. She used a higher argument to conquer the argument that is wicked. Lord, use me. Would you like to walk out together with these our brethren and say, Lord, use me. Even me, use me. Use me, though I'm young, use me. Use me. Take me to yourself. Deliver me from my sins and make me one of those you will use in your kingdom at the gates. Lord, use me. Please, time is against us. Walk out quickly and we are praying right now. Don't stay back. If the Lord is saying it, now is your time. I've been calling, you did not respond. Now I want to save you. Now I want to deliver you. Now I want to count you among my soldiers who will fight for the kingdom of God at the gates, and I will give you the victory. Make sure you don't stand behind. Our Father, we give you thanks. Lord, we worship you tonight. Thank you because even though the battle has been won and you have told us that we have the victory already even before the battle begins, yet there are strategies. There is wisdom that we must engage in order to win the battle. Lord, tonight, first of all, I pray for these our brothers and sisters who have responded to you to take them away from the kingdom of darkness where sin reigns. Lord, I pray, do that tonight and plant them in your kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask, oh Lord, that your strong hand will rest upon them right from this moment. Those who have been hurt before and now they are called, Lord, let your fire be kindled in their hearts, that they will be able to stand for Christ at the gate in the name of Jesus Christ. You use the people of old, men and women, young and old. Please, Lord, don't leave any of them behind. And every one of us calling on you to use us, there is wisdom with you. Oh God, the kind of wisdom you gave that young Queen Esther, and you gave Mordecai, you gave Hushai. Oh Lord, we pray that we will not lack that wisdom in our time in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the spirit of excellence fall upon us. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of power and might, let him come upon us in this meeting, that going from here, we will be turned to another man, another woman, who will do exploits for God at the gates in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. We know you will do much more than we can ask. You will establish these ones who have responded to you. You will establish them in your kingdom, and your name will be glorified. Lord Jesus, we plead that you will come into their hearts and take your possession. You died for them on the cross. You paid the price to redeem them. Come, take your throne in their hearts. Be the Lord. Let the life of Christ flow into them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for hearing us, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please wait for counseling. Those of you that have responded, our brethren will attend to you. And the Lord is going to help you from now henceforth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to do a few.